So last week we introduced the Yid HaKadosh, and we spoke at Avas Yisrael a bit. So I'm going to share another Maisa from the Yid HaKadosh about Avas Yisrael. It's more of a well-known Maisa of his. It's probably been said about other tzaddikim as well. And then we'll go into the discussion, the next piece he talks about, the Inyan of Achila and Shtia. So the Yid HaKadosh, he said that he remembers when he was a young boy in Cheder. So they were learning Aleph Beis. Actually, I'm going to go off a story. It reminds me of another Maisa of Rav Yonasan Aibshitz when he was a young boy in Cheder as well. I'll tell you that Maisa, and I'll tell you the story about the Yid HaKadosh afterwards. Rav Yonasan Aibshitz was a very, very sharp young man. And they were learning Aleph Beis. And he was very sharp, and everyone knew the Rebbe was like scared of him when he was a young boy. And they're learning the different nekudos of a kamatz is an ah, and a pasach is an ah. And then they learn tzeir. Tzeir is a. So one of the boys in Cheder asked the Rebbe, so how come there needs to be underneath the pay? You know this? I said this myself to you already, under the pay?
Yeah, I think I heard it.
So underneath the pay, there's no need for a tzeir, because a pay is a pay. Even without the tzeir, there's no need for a nekuda. So the Rebbe's like, ah, so Yonasan, why didn't you ask this question? He said, I did already. I thought of the question already by the letter hey. So it reminded me of this, a bit of a different ma'isa. It's a chassidish ma'isa, a chassidish lesson in the Yid HaKadosh. He's learning Aleph Beis and Cheder. And the Rebbe is teaching him, giving a little mashke as well. I'm not sure how old, what he was giving them exactly, but they were giving them what to drink. And they're sitting down around the table, the circle, and cheder. And each of the boys were just enjoying each other's company. They mevatel themselves to each other. Just no one was better than the next. All sitting all around the same circle. And when the Rebbe was teaching them, he was explaining to them that what's a nakuda, when one dot, what's that, what does that symbolize? So the Rebbe said it symbolizes the letter Yud. The letter Yud is small little dots of Yud. So then he asked them, so what does it mean when there are two dots? So he said that's Shem Hashem, two Yuds is a shame of Hashem. So then afterwards, the Yid HaKadosh said, he's reading the Pasuk, and he sees like the two dots, the colon. And he thought that's Hashem as well. So he said, is that all? He reads it as Hashem. And the pasuk ends and he says Hashem and continues the next pasuk. And the Rebbe taught him an incredible lesson. The Rebbe says those two dots are not considered Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem could only be when the two dots are on the same level. They're both equal. When everyone is equal, no one's better than the next. But if there's one dot over the next dot, that's not Shem Hashem, that's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's present. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only brings a Shechina when everyone sits around together, everyone feels like they're all equal, no one's better than the next. And that's the lesson that he took when he was a young boy about the importance of showing everyone kavod and not having gaib. So that really concludes the discussion of Avos Yisrael. But I want to lead from there to his next topic, which he talks about, which is a big inyan about Achila Shtia. I don't want to go through the different pieces here because they're very deep. They're levels we can't understand, but I want to jump to one of my most favorite Torahs from the Yid HaKadosh, which is both on Parshas Bereishis and Yom Kippur. So what's the idea? So he quotes an amazing Mishnah, Maseches Kelim. This is found again in the Yid HaKadosh, two Chalakim here. One he goes through different Midos, and this one he goes to the Parshios and Moadim. So here in Parshas Bereishis, he says the following. It's the fourth piece in Parshas Bereishis. Vayer vayvoker yom echad. The Mishnah in Kelim tells us in Perek Yudzayin, Omeris yesh b'mashe nivra b'yom harishon tuma. Of that which was created on day one of creation, there are certain things that have tumah. And if you make something out of them, a kli out of whatever was created on day one, it's tame. So for example, the ground, ha'aretz shenivras b'yom harishon, the Rabbi Tanur explains, he says, if you make a kli, cheres, It's Makabal Tumah. That was Yom Rishon. B'sheni, the second day of creation, says the Mishnah, where the Rakia was created, Ein Bo Tumah. You can't make a Kli. It actually comes up in this discussion. There's a Sefer on Hilchos Levana, which is the halachas of being on the moon. And so there's a discussion. Chaim Knievsky was asked about whether you can make a mikvah on the moon, and he mentions that apparently one of the criteria of building a mikvah on the ground has to be a ground that's makabel tumah. To build a mikvah in such a ground, you can't build a mikvah on a moon for that reason, because
there was a shayla once of somebody wanted to make a keli out of a piece of an asteroid, of a meteorite.
So a similar thing. So if he couldn't make it on the moon, couldn't make out of these asteroids. So either way, everything created on Yom Sheni, like the Rakia, ain't makabel tumah. Day 3, says the Mishnah, Yesh Bo Tumah. There's certain things that are makabel tumah. For example, the trees were created on day 3. And if a person fashions a kli from 8, it's makabel tumah. So it goes back and forth. Day 4, the Mishnah says, the Me'oros, the sun, the moon, the stars were created, put in position on day 4. They're not makabel tumah. B'chamishi, day 5, birds and fish were created, they're not makabel tumah. If you make a kli out of a fish, you make a kli out of a bird, it's not makabel tumah. With one exception, there's a knaf ha'oznia, which midirabanan, they said, and we'll review in a second, but a knaf ha'oznia, this type of bird, there goes there, midirabanan, there is tumah. And the beit asnam is a matufa, some type of ostrich egg, is makabel tumah, that was created on the 5th day, on a midirabanan level. And then chol shenivra b'yom shishi, everything created on the 6th day, animals, humans, if you make a kli out of the bones, it's tummy. So in other words, the days are alternating. Depending what was created on that day, there's certain things that are tummy, certain things that are not tummy. So we'll do it again, we'll review. Day 1, not makabel tumah anything. Day 1 is makabel tumah. Day 2 is not makabel tumah. Day 3 is makabel tumah. Day 4 and day 5 are not makabel tumah, but day 5 has dirabanan tumahs, and day 6 is makabel tumah. We'll see the relevance of that just in a second. I would offer you guys some mashke, but it looks like we brought it inside. We have some mashke we were giving out before. But so says the Hilchos Kaddish. He says, there are two different types of avodas in this world. To mekadesh things, to metahir things. He says, take for example, if you're trying to purify gold. You want to purify gold, there are two steps in purifying gold. He says, the first thing you have to do is, you have to separate the ra, the psoles, from the zav, get rid of all the junk that comes along with it. You remove the psoles, and then you have the gold that's left. You put that in the fire, and it separates the gold from the psoles. And then there's the second stage of having to refine even the gold left over. There's still some psoles within the gold. So this is how he says it. Yesh beis min etzir. There are two types of refinery of gold. Mitchila, initially, you have to be mafridin apsoles min hazav. You have to separate the junk, if you will, from the gold. The hatichos of bakur, a big fire, a big oven, to burn out the bad. Acharkach, the second stage is borin min apsoles hanal ko perure zav. Now, of the psoles that's left over, you have to extract the gold that's left over in the psoles. The first step is the pure gold there. Here's all the junk. Now, even in the junk, there are going to be some sprinkles, remnants, some crumbs of the gold there. Extract the gold from the psoles. That's how one refines gold. Kemokain, it's true when it comes to a person's avoda. The first thing a person has to do is mitchila mechuyavim livru hara minatov, to get rid of the evil in a person's life, sur meira, get rid of all the terrible things that a person's doing, his bad midos, how he speaks, how he acts, how he thinks. The Baal Yishar Shum Bechinas Ra Chalila Me'atov. Separate good and bad. And then this way you leave the Tov, the good side of things, Naki. And when you're learning the base Medrash, you're thinking pure. When you're davening, you're thinking pure. Chesed, you're doing everything pure. That's one thing. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, the davening, the learning, the tzedakah, the mitzvah should be all pure. That's step one. And then you have to go to all the ra that you took. Acharkach, nuchuyovim levar min ha-ra. Now all the bad things, which we'll call eating and drinking, that which seems bad, you have to extract from the ra, from the psoles, all the good, all the sparks of kedusha that remains in the bad. Shenishar etzlo od ma'at tov efesma. And that's what explains the different days of the week. Yom Rishon and Shlishi Vishishi, which have things that were created that are Tamei. Habirur Azhu Tov Meira. You have to separate the good from the bad on those days. Those days have Tuma, good from the bad. Again, it's going to click in just a moment. Just wait. We'll get everything together. And these are the days of Yomim Asher Habirur B'inyani Achila Ushtia V'simcha. Days 1, days 3, and days 6 of the week are days where a person's supposed to engage in eating, drinking, mashke, happiness, dancing, singing, with the kavana of taking the tov from the gashmis. And then there are the days, the second day of the week, the fourth day of the week, Shabbos, which are days nothing tummy was created. These are separating where there's no bad, there's no ra, kulo tov, everything that's good. These are two types of avodas. We'll get to it in very practical sense in just a second. So again, one focus is when you're doing kulotov, davening and learning. The other thing is when you're doing natov. I don't like the term ra because these things are not ra, but it's not kedusha on the surface. Eating, drinking, playing sports, hanging out, all of that, shmoozing. There's also the kedusha within those elements. So now here's the clincher. He says the same idea, but in Yom HaKippur, I think also in Purim writes this as well, he quotes the same idea and says the following. He says, if you look which days of the week that Yom Kippur and Purim could fall out, which days of the week they could fall out on. Incredibly, the Yom Kippur falls out on those days of the week that nothing Tameh was created. So we said in that mission of Maseches Kelim that days two, four, and seven, Shabbos, nothing was created there. Those are days where nothing Tamei was created. Yom Kippur could fall out on second day of the week, which is Monday, Wednesday. We'll get to Thursday in a second. Tuesday, so again, Monday, Wednesday, and Shabbos. Because those are days of Kul Tahor, Kul Kadosh. There's nothing Tamei that was created. These are days we don't eat, we don't drink, we just focus on davening to Hashem. Purim falls out on days where that which is Tameh was created, which is days 1, Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday, Erev Shabbos. These are all days that Tameh was created, and that's when we celebrate Purim. Because Purim is an opportunity, as famously Zohar tells us that Yom HaKippurim is only like Purim, but not as great as Purim, because the avoda of eating, the avoda of drinking, the avoda of doing that which seems very gashmius, focused, is a much greater, higher level to extract the Kedusha, to be able to engage in this world and still see the Kedusha, to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that world we live in. As for Thursday, says the Yira Kadosh, Thursday, both Yom Kippur and Purim could fall out on Thursday. Why? Because the Mishnah says nothing Tamei was created on Thursday, but Chachamim created Tuma Midrabanan. Yom Kippur, which is a Yantif D'Araisa, so on a deraisa level, nothing Tameh exists. So it's a day that's kulo tahor. On a dirabanan level, which Purim is a din dirabanan, so there's tumah on a dirabanan level, so it's appropriate to have Purim to engage in the world of tumah, to extract the kedusha that's embedded in all the gashmis that's around this. And that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Yira Kadosh, which is an incredible chiddush, an incredible read from this Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. And the point is that no matter what a person does in life, a person should not be living two different lives. A person should always have the focus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kedusha in every aspect of life. But a person also can't feel that when he's not in the Beis Medrash, he's a failure. When he's not learning, when he's not davening, he's a failure. A person shouldn't think that when he's playing basketball or tennis or golf or whatever else he is, he's a failure. That's not the idea. We learn from the Yira Kadosh, we learn from all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, that there's Kedusha everywhere. We spoke last week, we mentioned the other Yira Kadosh. I will repeat it again for those who weren't there today, and it's just such a great vort. He talks about the ger who wanted to be Niskayer, Regal Achas from Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. And the Yira Kadosh, his explanation was that he was asking Regal Achas not to physically for Beis or Hillel Shammai to stand on one foot, but figuratively, the ger wanted to live a life on Regal Achas, to be on one madrega his whole life. And Shammai said that's impossible. A Jew doesn't live on one madrega. Jews have ups and Jews have downs. And the ups are ups and the downs are to create ups. That's how life is. You read the Litzar Chaliyah. You can't live by Madrega Achas. You can't live by Rega Achas. It doesn't exist. So he kicked him out. And Hillel says to him, if you love your friend, if you love yourself like you love your friend, you understand the message. And what he was telling him is that there's Kedusha everywhere. And you who want to convert, the only reason why you want to convert, says Hillel, because there is some tzaddik who had a downfall in his life, had a yerida, and he somehow went to a dark place where you, the goy, were at the time, and he found Kedusha, he dropped off some Kedusha for you to be inspired. The only reason why you're here wanting to convert is because some tzaddik inspired you when he had a yerida in his life. And the point is, even in the darkest places of life, in the choshech, in the gullus, wherever a person finds himself, wherever he struggles, there's Kedusha there too. There's Kedusha that a person has to find. One of my favorite ideas, Ari Cohen actually shared this with me many, many years ago. Actually, this Yira Kadosh, he shared with me also many years ago, back in the Lev Shlomo days, right? Mirzov, that's a reference, he'd appreciate that. See, he shared the Yira Kadosh I heard from him, and also this Chavetz Chaim, he shared with me on a different occasion. Pasuk says by Moshe Beinu, when he stumbled upon the sneh. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the voice came out and said, Shal Nalecha Ma'ar Aglecha. He says, take your shoes off. And then he says, I'll tick off halom, don't come any closer, because Admas Kodeshu, you're standing on Kedusha. So Chavetz Chaim asked the following question. He said, I don't understand. First, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take off his shoes. Well, so first he was told not to come closer. I did the pesuk all the way around. Don't come, I'll tick off halom, don't come any closer, because any closer is Kadosh. Stay where you are. And then he says, Shal Nalecha Ma'ar Aglecha. Take your shoes off where you're standing, because that also is Admas Kodesh. So which place was Admas Kodesh? First he said, stop where you are. Don't come any closer. If you come closer, that's Kedusha. Oh, you know what? Also where you're standing, there's also Kedusha. Shal Nalecha, take off your shoes there too. So which place was Kadosh? And says the Chavetz Chaim that there are certain places in this world that the Kedusha is objective. The Kedusha is absolute. The Kedusha is certain, it's clear. You go to Beis Medrash, you go to Beis Knesses, you see the Kedusha. You know there's Kedusha. When you're learning, when you're davening, when you're doing a mitzvah, there's Kedusha. It's very certain that there's Kedusha there. And that's why he said, Al tikrav halom, don't come closer, because the makom, the sneh, this makom shechina, there's Kedusha here. There's certain absolute shechina, Kedusha here. But he says, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu? Shal na'alech mirar aglech, remove your shoes, because everywhere else in the world, even where you're standing, there's also Kedusha, but that Kedusha is hidden. You have to take off the shoes, take off the coverings, uncover the hidden Kedusha, the hidden sparks that's everywhere in this world. Wherever you're standing, there's Kedusha everywhere. Don't come here, there's certain Kedusha everybody sees, but also there and everywhere, there's also Kedusha that you have to uncover. The lesson of the Yira Kadosh here is, that although Purim, if you ask the outsider which day was holier, a person would certainly say Yom Kippur is holier than Purim. But in the end of the day, the Yira Kadosh tells that Purim is holier than Yom Kippur. Because to find the Kedusha in the darkness, in the psalms, is much harder and a much greater accomplishment. Now we're about to encounter Yom Ha'Nara'im. And the Yom Ha'Nara'im, these are times of the year which Tshuva Meira. And Pesach time, Purim Pesach time is a time of Tshuva Me'ava. And the Gemara tells us the difference between Tshuva Me'ira and Tshuva Me'ava is this very point. The Tshuva Me'ira, a person does Tshuva because he's scared of sin, he's scared of punishment. So he takes his Adonis, knocks him down to Shkagos. But there's still Averus. Pesach time, Purim and Pesach are very connected. Mesamech Gula Legula, Gemara says. So Pesach is a time where we take the Zedonos and the Nasas Zichuyos, they turn into mitzvahs. You take the actual things you did wrong, and you can now turn them into something positive. That's what you could do. Teshuva me'ava is to transform the averus into mitzvahs. And that's why the Sfarim bring down, we have a custom on Rosh Hashanah time to throw challah into the water, tashlich. Yom Pesach, which is Teshuva me'ava, we take the bread and we actually burn it. And the burning, the esh elevates it to Shemayim. So Teshuva me'ira, we're trying to get rid of the averus. Even if it's the shkagos, we want to get rid of them, we're trying to get rid of them. But Purim time, Pesach time is Teshuva me'ava. We're trying to embrace the averus somehow. We're trying to embrace the eating, the drinking. Pesach is all about eating also. The whole Seder is all about eating, eating, eating. Purim is eating and drinking. It's to take the gashmius and to elevate it, to nasa zechuyos. And that's why we take the bread and it burns up, elevates the Kedusha. You know, that's what the Beis HaMikdash was. The Beis HaMikdash is bringing karbanos, animals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long, which doesn't seem to make any sense. To bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu something physical, to bring animals all day and put them on a fire and get it burned up to Shemayim. But that's the highest level. The highest level is to take the gashmis, to take the moments of darkness, to take the challenges and turn them into zechuyos. I know now is the time of Teshuva Me'ira, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing Teshuva Me'ava even during this time of year. And that's the lesson of Purim. So I'll finish off with the mice. I just saw, I got to say, if I was in Beagleizen the other day, not to make you jealous, but I was there. I haven't been there in a long time. I was taking my daughter to Eretz Yisrael, to the airport, to fly to Eretz Yisrael. So it was in Newark. I live in the Five Towns. It was in Newark. So along the way, I asked my wife if she minded if I stopped over Beagleizen. It was only 20 minutes out of the way. So I got a bunch of Svarim along with one of the Svarim, which is very nice, say for Sipure Tzadikim. Lil Mod Lamed, a number of wonderful stories about the great tzaddikim, and it goes to from the order of the yard sites here. The one mice I saw on the plane about the Yira Kadosh. Let's find it quickly here. So the Magid Mikoshitz once sent a message to the Choza Milublin, and he requested from the Choza to send him some Talmidim to be in his presence. The Magid Mikoshitz was very weak, he was ill. He wanted to have some Talmidim. So the Choza sent a number of the greatest tzaddikim of the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, Yidda Kadosh Mipashischa that we're talking about, Rav David Milelev Lelever, and Rav Ishaya Mipshedvars. And the Koshitz of Magid was very weak at the time. He was lying on his bed and these tzaddikim came to visit him. And the Yidda Kadosh went over to the Koshitz of Magid and they were talking very quietly, the two of them, having a nice conversation. And it seemed as if they were talking in deep sodos of the Torah, deep secrets, Kabbalah. And Rav David Lelever sat by himself at the table eating. He was minding his own business. The Yidda Kadosh and the Koshitz of Magid were talking and he was eating, having a suda. And he took a piece of bread and butter and he was eating it. And then Rabbi Shaya, the other chassid who was there, he went in to join the conversation with the Yidda Kadosh and the Koshitz of Magid. He wanted to be involved. You know, one guy's eating and one guy's, the other guys are talking and learning. He wants to be the guys talking and learning. So he leans in to hear the conversation. And the Koshitz of Magid says to Bishaya and points over to the Lelever who's busy eating. He said, you don't need to hear what we're talking about. Go over to the Lelever. Go eat your meal. He wasn't saying it like, in a disparaging way. He says, to watch that tzaddik, the Lelever, to eat a piece of bread, it's mamish kimakriv karbon lasha. Makriv a karbon to Kadosh Baruch. That's what he said. Each piece of bread he's taking, it's like being mak of another carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What you're going to learn from observing how he eats is much greater than when you learn what me and the Yidda Kadosh are talking about. And mamish, what we're talking about here tonight. That this is not saying chas v'shalom, a person shouldn't be learning a lot and shouldn't be davening. A person should be doing that whatever time he's allowed, and certainly those in yeshiva more than those who are not in yeshiva. But not every person is built like the Yidda Kadosh and the Koshitz of Magid, where They could skip meals and just eat and live a life of Yom Kippur. Most of us, 99% of the world, are built in such a way where we need to eat meals regularly. We need to have Purim, not every day, but Purim is more often than just once a year. But the point is, that's those moments of time where we are enjoying life in the proper way, it should never be viewed as a failure, as a yirida. That's an opportunity for a person to somehow, you don't have to have deep thoughts, you don't have deep kavanas. Just eating, enjoying a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, you're thanking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the oneg, the enjoyment of such a nice apple, such a nice wrap we had for dinner tonight, whatever it is, to give you more strength to be a better Jew, to be a nicer person, to learn better, to daven better. That's all the kavanas. You don't need any fancy kavanas. Finish off with just about fancy kavanas, because we're not looking for fancy kavanas, just pashtus. Rav Weinberger shared a maisa last Shabbos, the two Shabboses ago, Shal Shudas. He was talking about the Lelver, of Davar Lelver, we were just saying before, who is the Makri for Rosh Hashanah. And the Baal Tokeya was there, ready to blow the shofar, and nothing was coming out. Nothing at all. And he's blowing and trying and trying. Finally, Lelver says to him, just take off your towels and blow the shofar. Takes off a talis and the tekiah comes out and the shua, shvar. So afterwards, they asked him what was going on. So he said that he was focused too much on himself, focused too much on the kavanas. All we want is pashtus, no fancy kavanas, no nothing. Just eat and drink when you're supposed to. Eat and drink not as a failure, not as a yirida. These are just healthy breaks to make you be better people, to make you stronger. In being a nicer person, stronger in your midos, strong in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And b'zuchus that, we should all have an Elul, Yom Nerah, Mesukis, with Tshuva Shlema, Negula Shlema, Ba'amitas, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.